Good Monday. Today is September the 1st, and you're listening to My Farm. We're going to take some time this morning and visit with Brandon Curran with the Ohio Soybean Association, talking about last week's hometown tour stop in Upper Sandusky, Ohio, as we got to see construction of the new Louis Dreyfus plant. We'll get an update after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Joining me is Brandon Curran, and we are at the Ohio Soybean Hometown Tour. We are just outside Upper Sandusky, Ohio at Louis Dreyfus. Brandon, a great event. I guess first off, though, let's back up the concept of the Hometown Tour. What's the idea behind the meetings?
Yeah, so these are regional meetings for our members and for area farmers that aim to bring, you know, a whole wide array of information to them, you know, where they're living in their community. So we have presentations on new agronomic insights and market updates and policy updates, things that we're working on in the public policy space from an advocacy standpoint. So it's meant to be kind of a diverse set of topics that kind of inform them on some of the latest and greatest news to help them on their farm and their production operation.
One of the things you shared this morning was a little bit of an update, as well as a economist from the American Soybean Association, taking a look at what's going on with renewables and where soy fits into that. Maybe a quick snapshot. What are we looking at currently?
Yeah, so we've had some big wins in the public policy space this year. And so Scott Girt, the chief economist from American Soybean Association, joined me today and kind of, he talked about the economic side and the impact that it's going to have on the marketplace. But if you look at in the one big beautiful bill, the 45Z biofuel production tax credit was extended, and there were some important protections for soybean as a feedstock for biofuels included in that legislation that we had been advocating for to make soybean oil more competitive in that marketplace. If you look at the Trump administration's proposal on the renewable volume obligation, the amount of biofuels that have to be blended in to the fuel supply, they are proposing right now a huge increase, a 60% increase in the volume of bio-based diesel that was included in that renewable volume obligation. If that comes to fruition, we're talking about, you know, a huge impact in the progress that we've really been looking for to help farmers with that market going forward. So that was kind of one of the things that we shared with farmers, is some of the success we've had in the advocacy space.
Nice to hear about some of those wins coming down the line. Everyone knows with commodity prices depressed like they are, every little bit of good news helps create demand and some positive momentum. Well, as I mentioned, and you can proudly hear in the background, we are at a construction site with Louis Dreyfus. Talk just a little bit about today's meeting and some of the neat aspects of having it on site.
Yeah, so we, you know, it's kind of cool. We're on it. We're literally on a construction site. There's equipment moving around us. There's someone running a saw back here. Building steel is going up here at this facility. And, you know, farmers are pretty interested in what this facility means. You know, we've talked about in the past with our existing partners in the soybean processing industry that are already present in Ohio, like ADM and Bungie and Cargill. When you add this new facility by Louis Dreyfus here in Upper Sandusky, we have outsized processing capacity for a state our size. We're going to be able to crush, we'll have the capacity to crush almost 85% of our crop. And so with that, you know, there's a lot of interest from farmers. And so cool to have this on the construction site for farmers to have a chance to see the progress that's being made. The company kind of got to give an overview of kind of what they're looking at and what their capacity and accessibility is going to look like for farmers here. And so just a unique setting for a meeting like this. It was pretty cool.
A great event. Again, my guest today is Brandon Curran with the Ohio Soybean Association. Brandon, thanks for your time today.
Anytime.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We're going to change directions now. The latest report within USDA's Census of Agriculture series looks at the typology of family farms, covering the various data categories. USDA's Rod Bain tells us more.
Farm topology, in other words, A further breakdown of USDA 2022 Census of Agriculture data on farm types via a recently released report.
The farm topology really focuses more on what the farm or farm household would receive from the enterprise, the farm, not just all the receipts that might come from the farm, as value production does. It's another way of looking at it to say what goes back to those households that gain income or gross receipts from a farming operation.
As National Agricultural Statistics Service Administrator Joseph Parsons explains, the focus of the farm topology report is family farms as defined in the census.
Most farms in the United States are family farms. And in fact, most are small family farms.
With 95% of U.S. farm operations listed as family farms and small family farms, those with a gross cash farm income of less than $350,000 annually, constituting 85% of our nation's family farms.
We categorize in this farm topology small, mid-sized, large, and very large family farms. And the small is further cut into two pieces by low sales and moderate sales. Most farms in the United States are small and have low sales, so very quite small.
Among the data categories within NASA's farm topology report, what farm size category produces most of what commodity?
The smallest farms, they tend to be cattle operations, cow-calf operations, and they tend to grow hay. Part of your lifestyle, maybe you have a small herd of cattle and a field or two of hay. The largest categories are grains and oil seeds for the moderate sales, the mid-size, and the large category. And then when we get to the very large family farms, there's much higher proportion of those in specialty crops and then also in dairies. We've seen a concentration of dairies becoming larger on average, and many of those are very large family farms.
Also, demographics of family farms.
Small family farm producers tend to be more likely, for example, to have served in the military and also to work off the farm and to be a new and beginning farmer. Producers on small farms tend to be somewhat more likely to be female than mid-size or large-scale farmers. Small farmers tend to be a little more likely to be 65 years or older. So in some cases, this may be a lifestyle, part of one's retirement, for example.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. From my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.